DW Deutsche Welle. World in Progress.
A matter of life and death. A lack of doctors puts patients at risk in Ghana. But how to tackle the problem?
In New York, there are more Ghanaian doctors than in Ghana. It's a huge loss if you put that into monetary terms, government investment to train a doctor, but also in terms of what it costs the nation to lose a doctor.
Welcome to World in Progress. I'm Anke Rasper in Bonn, Germany. Medical doctors are in high demand, and many leave their home countries for better jobs and more pay abroad. But what if more than half of local doctors were to leave? The health systems would barely be able to cope. And that's a dilemma many African countries are facing today. Take Ghana, for instance. Once they have completed their medical degree, many Ghanaian doctors prefer to move to Europe or North America instead of working in a hospital back home. The problem is even worse in the countryside. And the health professionals, politicians and NGOs who are trying to counter the problems caused by the missing doctors say they are facing huge challenges, as Moritz Pompel discovered. His in-depth report was funded by the European Journalism Centre, EJC, via its Global Health Journalism Grant Programme for Germany.
So we have to get the life jackets. You know, it's a big boat, relatively safe. The bigger the boat, the safer it is with regards to accidents on the water. But we still have to take precautions.
Enoch Agbalisashi, known as Dr. Enoch, is taking us on a dangerous mission across Lake Volta. The huge expanse of water in southern Ghana covers 8,500 square kilometers. In the dusty port town of Abotoise, gleaming piles of fish are on sale at the covered market stalls. It smells like fish everywhere and animal urine. Feral cats and dogs slink among the iridescent scales of the cleaned fish on the ground, hoping for more substantial scraps. Nearby, women are braiding the hair of young girls.
Thank you, thank you.
Dr. Enoch steers us through the marketplace to the shore. Every step of the way, he's greeted by traders and passersby.
In this market, if I pass here, I'm like a celebrity. So everybody would just be asking me how I am. People will even attempt to thank me. She was one of my clients. Unfortunately, she lost her baby. We are seeing over more than 100,000. I mean, the population in the area is about 100,000. And we are just two medical officers.
Two doctors for 100,000 people. By comparison, in Germany, there's an average of two doctors for every 442 patients. From Monday to Friday, 37-year-old Enoch works as a general practitioner at the only hospital in the area, 15 kilometers away in the town of Wara Wara. On weekends, he volunteers his time as part of an 8-person team on a far-flung island in Lake Volta. There, they administer to the medical needs of fishing families through an NGO set up by Enoch last year, the Volta Island Medical Outreach, or VIMO. This Sunday, he's traveling, as usual, to the island of Tapa Alavanyo. Officially, it has a population of 12,000 people, but Enoch estimates there are actually twice as many people living on the island, and not one single doctor. Children are dying of malaria, an easily treatable disease, and the number of mothers and babies that die in childbirth is far higher than on the mainland, Enoch says, although there are no official statistics. In Ghana, one out of every 30 newborns does not survive, a rate 10 times higher than in Germany. And one in 300 women dies in childbirth. In Germany, that figure is one in roughly 30,000. In an emergency, it takes an hour to reach the mainland. Wooden boats make the journey just once every 4 days for the market. Today, Enoch and his team are traveling in the opposite direction. They're carrying medicine, ultrasound equipment, and malaria rapid diagnostic tests. The crossing is dangerous.
In the water, we have a lot of stumps. And then sometimes the boats are able to hit the stumps and they capsize. It's like the Titanic. was an unsinkable boat, a ship, but it still sank. So this is our Titanic. We pray that it doesn't sink.
Next to the boat we're about to board, a wreck lies half submerged in the mud. Its passengers were just able to make it safely ashore. Our boat disembarks, and the view opens onto a sheer expanse of water reaching all the way to the horizon. The first tree trunks appear, rising ominously from the murky depths. Some are clearly visible, standing out of the water. Others are barely seen under the surface. They were once great trees, but that was before the Akosombo Dam was built in the 1960s, making Lake Volta one of the world's biggest artificial reservoirs.
You see the stump? Now, you see the man up there, he's directing the boat to avoid the tree stumps. It breaks through the floor of the boat and the boat sinks. We could get about 20 to 30 meters down. We have boat accidents, quite a number of them, in this part on the lake. So going there is always a risk. But to be able to save lives, it is a risk that we are willing to take.
Enoch's thoughts are already on the island. He hopes we won't arrive to find any serious emergencies. What he doesn't yet know is that our return journey will be much riskier, in complete darkness, with an emergency patient on board. Three days earlier, we're at the large district hospital in Batur, 2 hours' drive east of the Ghanaian capital, Accra. This is where we first meet Dr. Enoch. He was sent to Batur by the government for a 3-week crash course in gynecological surgery. There are few specialists in Ghana, particularly in rural areas. Enoch is on his way to the operating room.
Basically, doing hysterectomies. That's a very vital skill that we have to learn so that we can use it when we go back to our stations. If there's an obstetric emergency, that procedure is needed for us to save the life of the woman. As a medical officer, I'm not routinely supposed to be doing it, but considering how deprived where I'm coming from is, it has been arranged for me to have the training. Usually, if there's an emergency like that, specialist care is about 2.5 hours from our facility. And then usually, even ambulances to take the patients are non-existent. So you are left with the patient to do your best for the patient. So that is why our health directorate is organizing this program to train us to be able to carry out some of these procedures that some specialists are supposed to do.
With this training program, the government is trying to tackle a fatal problem, one that's familiar in many African countries. Highly skilled professionals, especially medical doctors, are leaving rural areas for the big cities. There, they have access to modern equipment, better wages, better career opportunities, and better schools for their children. But increasingly, young doctors are skipping African cities altogether and heading abroad, mainly to England and the United States, but also to countries like Germany. The migrant medic is a global phenomenon. An increasing number of German doctors, for example, are heading to Switzerland, where the wages are better. And in Germany, too, it's becoming increasingly difficult to find general practitioners willing to work in the countryside. But the situation in Ghana is far more serious. Only around 600 medical students complete their studies every year at just 4 universities. One of them is the University of Ghana in the capital, Accra. And all the students we talk to here want to go abroad, at least for a while.
I like the country. I'm sure everything is better over there.
I also plan to leave to do my postgraduate. I want to maybe do it outside, maybe in America or in the UK, because they have advanced technology, I mean advanced systems. And then after, when I'm done, come back here and practice. But then again, you never know what the future holds. Maybe I might go there and then, I don't know, get married there, stay there. You never know what will happen. I have an auntie, she left. One time I spoke to her, she said she was coming back. The next time I spoke to her, she said, no, she's not coming back. She's staying there. She's going to, have a house there with her children, just live there till forever. So, I mean, people just change their minds because Ghana is a hard country. It's difficult to, progress. It's difficult to, I mean, live, actually. Things are expensive and everything, so people find it better to stay there.
When it comes to departing doctors, exact figures are hard to come by, even at the Ghanaian Health Ministry. But the general belief is that the country's hardest times are over. Despite that, every second medical doctor goes abroad after graduation.
In New York, there are more Ghanaian doctors than in Ghana.
That was John Koku Awuner-Williams, Director of Policy and Planning at the Ghanaian Health Ministry. It's his job to ensure more doctors stay in Ghana and that more of them take jobs in small villages.
Government investment to train a doctor is a huge loss if you put that into monetary terms, but also not necessarily monetary terms, but also in terms of what it caused the nation to lose a doctor who is trained to provide services.
Ghana is implementing four measures to tackle the problem. First, doctors' wages are set to increase. But doctors are already considered to be among the highest earners in Ghana. A starting salary is more than 800 euros or close to $1,000 per month. And the state coffers are bare. Secondly, rural doctors will soon earn more than those working in the city. But it remains to be seen whether that will really be an incentive for doctors to move to the countryside. After all, in the cities, doctors are able to top up their wages by treating wealthy private patients, and that's not usually possible in the countryside. Third, universities are to be expanded so more young people can study medicine. In Accra, a state-of-the-art clinic with 650 beds is being built on the university campus. But what if the majority of graduates still decide to go abroad? The fourth measure is the most challenging. The idea is for all hospitals, including those in rural areas, to get good technical equipment. Rural schools are to be upgraded too. Another reason why many doctors move away from the countryside is that they want a better education for their children, says Awuner-Williams of the Health Ministry.
So there's kind of a number of things that needs to be happening. And of course, I mean, let's face it that there are some doctors after graduation, they will definitely make up their mind to leave, no matter what you do. Whether you have the employment, whether you have all the conditions that you need, they will still leave.
The health ministry is trying to fill the gap with crash courses for doctors like Enoch. He has 3 weeks to master obstetric surgery before practicing it on rural patients. But today, a very different kind of intervention is being done, and Enoch can only assist, sewing the patient up at the end.
I've got 3 more days to go. Hopefully there will be some more hysterectomies tomorrow, and I'm hoping to do one by myself. It will boost my confidence.
Enoch still remembers a tragic case at his hospital a few years earlier when he was just starting out.
I was then an inexperienced medical officer, and then we had an obstetric emergency like that. The woman didn't stop bleeding. She was bleeding from the uterus. If I knew the skills that I had now, I'm sure I would have saved her life, but she died. That is why this training I'm doing here is very important, because if I get a case like that again, I'm sure the woman, I'll be able to save their life.
At another operating table that's separated by a blue shower curtain, two German doctors are prepping for the next surgery. They are urologists Saskia Morgenstern and Wolfgang Kramer from the NGO Ärzte für Afrika, or Doctors for Africa.
It's crazy. At the moment, we have at least 5 operations per day. That's really a lot. We're in the operating room from morning till night.
Teams from Ärzte für Afrika visit 6 Ghanaian hospitals 12 times each year to conduct surgery. In the whole of Ghana, there are just 40 urologists for 28 million people, and they're concentrated in the big cities. By comparison, the city of Munich in Germany, with a population of 1.5 million people, has around 80 practicing urologists. That's why Dr. Morgenstern and Dr. Kramer have decided to give up part of their annual vacation to provide some form of rudimentary primary care here in Ghana. Today, they're turning their attention to a patient with an enlarged prostate. He's been walking around with a catheter for months, and he needs surgery.
I can't urinate, so I will need operations. I know you people will come, that's why I'm here. I'm looking for a good treatment.
The German team will operate on some 60 patients over 2 weeks. But they know these are just a fraction of the people who need help. That's why this time they want to speak to the head of the urology department at the Accra University Hospital about a future partnership. Dr. Morgenstern and Dr. Kramer have just brought the operation to a successful conclusion and released the patient. Now they're on their way to Accra.
Im allerbesten Fall würden wir heute schon besprechen, was es für Möglichkeiten gibt.
If everything goes really well, we hope to discuss today what possibilities there are for us to support the training of local urologists. And perhaps each time we come here, one of the urologists training at the university in Accra could join our German team when we perform operations. If we could give local urologists a few small tips, teach them a few little things, we could help many more people indirectly than we can help directly by performing operations. That's why this appointment today is so important. I really hope it goes well.
Hoffe ich mir, dass das positiv verläuft.
But Kramer knows from experience that their Ghanaian colleagues are wary. The Ärzte für Afrika NGO has been in contact with the University of Ghana Teaching Hospital for 2 years, and they have presented their idea before, but initially met with some skepticism.
Someone said to us, imagine, we were to travel to Germany to do operations there for 2 weeks, and then we would take off again, leaving our complications behind for the Germans to deal with. So we also got the feeling we were not really wanted here that much, at least by the older generation.
In the meantime, a new head has taken over the Department of Urology at the University Clinic. Will he be more open-minded?
The navigator at the front of the boat has guided us safely through the first tree stumps. Enoch looks out at the endless expanse of water and describes what he learned in the crash course. He was at least allowed to perform a hysterectomy himself. He says he has to think about his wife and two children. They live in Accra, where the kids can go to a good school. Enoch sees them every 2 weeks at the most.
I miss them a lot sometimes. When I'm here and I'm working, the work keeps me busy. So sometimes I don't realize how much I miss them, but sometimes I have very difficult days when you always wish you have your family around you so that you can console yourself. But I'm here alone, you know. So that's the plight of a doctor who is in a rural area. There has to be a doctor. I mean, we can't, somebody has to be here. Somebody has to be here.
After an hour on the boat, we reach the island and are met by a group of young fishermen and their children. The welcoming party escorts the doctor and his team through thickets of reeds. Enoch's last visit was 4 months ago. Since then, none of the island's 12,000 residents have seen a doctor. Further away from the shore, beneath the low trees, the first homes appear, simple clay huts with thatched roofs. There are women grilling fish on wooden skewers to sell at the market on the mainland. Men are repairing their nets. We make our way to a hut with a tin roof. On its walls, there are simple paintings of a doctor and a nurse.
This is our clinic, Tapa Alawanyu Clinic. We would have the records here. We'll have the nurses sit here to check the vitals. And then from here, they will enter into the consulting room. We'll set up the pharmacy under that tree.
There's already a crowd of patients waiting under the trees in the shade. Many have small children on their backs. A young woman from the village is preparing a sack strung across a frame that makes for an examination couch in the simple, dark room that serves as the island hospital.
It's a little dark in here. Oops, there are some lizards here. No network. Probably you just have to move around the island. You might just be lucky to get just one bar. Yeah, so if you have emergency, you have to look for that one bar.
Sorry, the number you dialed cannot be reached at the moment.
Then they get down to work. The team writes out the names of patients and carries out preliminary checks, weight, blood pressure, and a malaria rapid diagnostic test. Enoch then carries out any further examinations. He gives every pregnant patient an ultrasound.
So baby is lying well. That's the head of the baby, that round thing you see over there.
On the island, mothers give birth at home in the care of older women. But they don't know how to deal with complications, Enoch says, which is why he recommends they come to the mainland well before their due date.
If there's emergency, you can come to the hospital with a car. But if you are here, you are in a bad situation. But some of the women, they are forced to deliver here because some, they are so poor they cannot even afford the fare to go to the mainland.
There are so many patients that Enoch cannot afford to spend too much time with any of them. The next in line is a 4-year-old boy in a yellow polka dot shirt. He lies weakly in his mother's arms, his eyes glazed over. He's just tested positive for malaria.
The child is now vomiting everything, and that's a danger sign. So we would have to go with the child to our district hospital so that we can give parenteral artesunate, which is a recommended treatment for severe malaria. So for now, we will take the child in the boat back to the mainland. We can't leave the child here. Otherwise, the child would lose the child.
But there are hours to go before the team heads back to the mainland. The child can't hold his head up, and he's crying softly in pain. It's not clear how long he will live.
The German urologists Saskia Morgenstern and Wolfgang Kramer have arrived at the University of Ghana Teaching Hospital in Accra. They're here to meet the head of urology, James Mensah, to talk about a possible partnership. But Mensah makes it clear right from the start that foreign doctors aren't unequivocally welcome.
We have had some concerns about it in the past. Sometimes they just come, operate at this hospital and leave. And the complications come to us.
Yes.
And my other problem is equipment. So our biggest challenge here is equipment. How much equipment do you people bring? The Germans come, they operate and lock their equipment and they go. I mean, then those we've left behind, how are they going to practice? Our biggest challenge here is equipment. It's not knowledge, it's not skill. When you come and train with that equipment, you go back, the knowledge goes away. But if you come with equipment and you train the equipment, the knowledge and skill stays.
This presents a dilemma for the German doctors. They know from experience that the equipment, for example, for a bladder examination, rusts when there's no specialist doctor to clean and care for it. And they are only a small NGO, Wolfgang Kramer explains to the university doctor. The NGO cannot afford to buy expensive specialized equipment and medical instruments for Ghana's hospitals if it's not going to be used.
So what we need is basic urological care, and there we can help. So if there is any one of you specialists in urology willing to be associated to one of the rural hospitals, to be there permanently, to take care of patients, that's what we wish. What we hope for. If we had a person there, a urologist, who's sort of being regularly at that place and regards this instrument as one of his favorite toys, for example, that would be a different story. And that's what we like to finance. There's no problem with that.
The German doctors and the head of the urology department at the clinic tried to get a better feel for each other. Finally, Mensah brings Morgenstern and Kramer along on his rounds and even asks Kramer to take the lead.
Yes, sir. Can you kindly lead our rounds?
Me?
Yes.
For 2 hours, the doctors move through the huge hospital building together, checking on patient after patient.
Well, I think taking us on this round is a way to check out how well-versed we are in urology, whether our skills are up to their standards.
Ob wir denen das Wasser reichen können, so ungefähr.
The ward for male patients is 3 times the size of a big gym. There are many beds with only linen hanging between them.
This is amazing.
While working together on the rounds, the doctors develop an understanding of each other, discussing the specific urological cases and procedures. As it turns out, there is little they disagree on, and in the end, they all agree the partnership should be given a chance.
If you tell us the hospital, and then your time, the residents are here.
We exchange our dates when we are there, and then your people come, see if it's worthwhile for them, and then we start growing together and building up collaborations. Mm-hmm. We have to live it.
Yes. We worry because this is our country. I mean, a patient in the village should also have good urological care. Yes, so if there's a way of extending the care, we are all for it.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yes. And you have my number, email address. Yes.
As Saskia Morgenstern and Wolfgang Kramer leave the hospital, they're totally drained, but they're also very pleased.
That went really well.
Yeah, it was good. Let's see how much the ideas we discussed we can now put into practice.
Let's hurry up. The sun is setting. We don't want it to get dark on the water. Otherwise, it will be dangerous for us to travel. We don't want to run into any stumps. The last patient, we are done. Unfortunately, we can't see everybody. Please, quickly, please. Okay, please, let's all get onto the boat and let's go.
Enoch has examined more than 60 patients on the island today. He didn't have time for everyone. Some waited in vain. Now his team is packing up and heading for the boat. The little boy with malaria is coming too, slipping in and out of consciousness in his mother's arms. As the boat begins its journey back to the mainland, the sun sinks below the horizon. We stand on the boat's wooden planks, ankle deep in water. One of the crew scoops water out with a can. At first, the navigator can still see the tree stumps in the lake, but as it gets darker, he has to strain forward for a better view. When we reach the middle of the lake, it's pitch black. Suddenly, there's a hollow crunch. The panicked cries on board are tinged with relief. We've hit a tree trunk, but the boat slides over it, and we continue on our way. Someone hands the navigator a flashlight. After what seems like an endless journey, we arrive at the marketplace on the mainland. Enoch loads the sick child and his mother into his car, which will serve, as it has so many times before, as a makeshift ambulance. The coat hook holds an intravenous drip. The car makes its way up a bumpy track toward the local hospital. There, late into the night, Enoch will treat the boy. He has a good chance of coming through.
Ghana needs more primary health care than specialized care. There is a great need in primary health care delivery. I mean, we still have pregnant women dying. We still have children dying from malaria. Malaria is curable. You don't need a specialist to treat malaria. All you need is a doctor to provide that primary health care. No pregnant woman should die because there's no doctor. It's difficult, but somebody has to do the work. Money is not everything. To feel good here, if you help people, for me, it's everything. The rural people, they are farmers. They grow the food that we eat in the cities. It is not fair for us to leave them to their fate when they are sick or when there's emergency. There has to be a doctor there. There's no excuse. Somebody just has to be there for them.
This documentary on the missing doctors of Ghana was compiled by Moritz Pompel and funded by the European Journalism Centre via its Global Health Journalism Grant Programme. The presenters were Kathleen Schuster and Connor Dillon. To listen again to this and other editions of World in Progress, go to dw.com/worldinprogress or download our podcast from iTunes or SoundCloud. Do tune in again next week. Until then, on behalf of the studio team here in Bonn, Germany, all the best from me, Anke Rasper, and take care.